Good morning, everybody. How was your weekend? Mine was good, too. Thanks for asking. I went to the zoo on Friday. I feel like I'm setting up for a joke, but I'm not. I went to the zoo on Friday with my little boy Gideon and my sister's kids. And how many of you know that going to the zoo with little kids is 10 times better than going as an adult? Just by yourself, you know? Yeah, this the joy on their faces when they see an elephant or a giraffe. It's pretty amazing. It was a good time. Well, I'm going to kind of pick up where Aaron left off last week. Aaron talked about our mission and our vision here at Red Hills Church. And I love our church. I love what we're all about. And he shared last week that our mission is to inspire people to know Jesus. It's why we're alive. It's why we're here. We want people to know Jesus. And he also shared our five vision statements that are just right behind me on this board up here. That at our church, it's okay to not be okay. And you can come as you are, and our hope is that you leave changed by the grace of Jesus. We don't want to be the church that everyone wants to attend, but we want to be the church that no one wants to leave. It's about family. It's about community. We want people to feel so connected here, to have such a family at our church that they don't want to leave. We strip away religion so that we experience a relationship with God. And we believe that found people find people and share the radical love of Jesus. Amen. That's why we're alive, to share the love of Jesus with people. And I'm going to kind of continue where he left off. He meant to talk a little bit more about what I'm going to share today, but didn't have the time to because we did our annual business meeting last week. But I want to share with you this morning the path to spiritual maturity here at Red Hills Church. We have actually, as a pastoral staff, for over a year, gotten together and prayerfully considered what are those things that every believer should have in their life. What are those things that every believer should exhibit in their life? And we've prayerfully kind of put together a path of spiritual maturity here at our church. But before I go into that, I want to share a story. Many of you know I got married almost 3 years ago, and for our honeymoon, we are so blessed. We got to go to Italy for 3 weeks for our honeymoon. Yes, and a jealous rage came over the crowd. We went to Italy. We went to Rome, to Florence, to Venice, and then to Sicily. And one day when we were leaving Rome, we had to be in Florence. We were getting to go to Florence. And we had to be at the train station at some time in the afternoon. And so we left the hotel with plenty of time, plenty of room to get to the train station. And we arrive at the train station early, and we walk through the doors, and we have no idea where to go. All the signs are in Italian. There's nobody at the counter to help us, to talk to us, to translate for us. All that's there is this self-check, like, kiosk thing for us to use, and it's all in Italian. We have no idea how to use it, and we get there, and we're fumbling around for like 10 minutes, and finally we decide, okay, we have to make a decision. We have to figure out, you know, we have to make a decision which platform it is, but we don't want to take that chance. Oh, no. So we just decided to ask the gentleman who was standing next to us, who was using a kiosk, and we had this very broken conversation with him because he didn't speak any English. We're having this broken conversation with him, and I can't understand him at all, but somehow I interpret through what he's saying that we're at the wrong train station, that we need to get on the subway, go back into the city, and go to this other train station. So we grab our suitcases, and we walk to the subway. We get on the subway, take a 30-minute ride back to the middle of the city, and we arrive, and we have the same problem, that there are signs in Italian with nobody to translate, and we are lost. We have no idea what to do. And I see this woman at a counter, and I'm reading her lips, and she's speaking English. And I'm thinking, I'm going to talk to that woman, but the line to get to her is super long, and I know if we get in this line, we are not going to make our train, but we have no choice. We get in the line, and we are in that line for an hour waiting to talk to this woman, an hour. We finally get to the counter, and our conversation lasts about 30 seconds. I hand her my ticket, and she goes, "You're at the wrong train station. You need to go back to this one," and it was the one that we were at earlier that morning with plenty of time to spare. And she tells us that it's actually kind of an underground platform that we have to go under here and look for it over here. And so we take the subway back. By this time, our train is long gone. We've missed our train. We get back to the station that we were at originally. And we go down the hallway. We finally find our platform, and they won't exchange our tickets. They won't, we have to buy completely new tickets to get to Florence. And it was just a total nightmare. For those of you who have ever fought on your honeymoon, you know how wonderful that is to be on your honeymoon and be like, I don't know where to go. I don't know. He said we have to go here. No, we just need to go here. And it was just a mess. Last week, Aaron shared that your direction determines your destination, but it can also be narrowed down to your decisions determine your direction. We had to make a series of really bad decisions all in a very short period of time to get to where we needed to go. Now, every time I tell this story, I get about the same looks that I'm getting right now. It's this look of like, oh, you poor child. You poor, poor child. You got lost in one of the most beautiful countries on the earth. I feel so sorry for you. That's the look I get. The last two services, I got those looks too. But your decisions determine your direction. Sometimes we make poor decisions in life that get us off track from our destination. We pursue the wrong people. We take the wrong job. Maybe we take the wrong classes. Rock students. We make a poor judgment call. And the key is listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit so that we can make the right decisions and invest our time and resources in the right things. And I want to talk to you this morning about a path to spiritual maturity, making the right decisions to grow in God. Ultimately, our goal is to look as followers of Jesus Christ, is to look like Jesus, right? To be more like him. And we call this whole process discipleship or spiritual maturity. It's the process of growing to look like Jesus. The Bible talks a lot about spiritual maturity. It talks a lot about being careful, about reaching a standstill in your spiritual growth, right? Not becoming stagnant, not becoming stale, but to continue to grow. And in James chapter 1, verse 4, it says this, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. When we come to know Jesus, we're saved, right? We accept him in our heart, we're saved. But there's this process that we must go through where we look like him, where we become sanctified, right? Where we give, this is where we give each part of our life to Jesus. It's discipleship. And spiritual maturity, this process must be intentional and it must be deliberate. Like anything else we do in life, like our education, we want a degree. Well, what do? We go to the class, we do the homework, we take the test, we study hard, we stay up till 3 a.m. cramming for a last minute exam, right? We do the work. Like when we go to a gym, we want to get lean or get totally swole and get some muscles, right? We go to the gym and we work out. And we do the work, we put in the time, and it's the same thing for our spiritual growth, that if we want to grow, it's not going to happen automatically. We don't become more like Jesus automatically. Instead, we work towards it, we strive towards it, right? And we allow the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to take over our lives and to take those things that don't look like him so that he can transform us into his son's likeness. In James, he says, so that you may be mature and complete. And the Greek word, the New Testament was written in Greek, and the Greek word for mature found in this verse is teleos. And it means brought to its end, to be brought to its end, to be finished, to be complete. It's the same word found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, where Jesus says this. He says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Some of you are thinking, is that really in the Bible? Jesus told us to be perfect? Yes, it's in the Bible. Matthew 5:48. Jesus says, be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect. That word perfect is teleos. Now, does Jesus actually expect us to be perfect? Does he expect us to be perfect? We have to understand that Jesus at the time was raising the ethical bar of the listeners. Now, the people he's talking to have been raised in a culture that taught them that it was okay to return an ill deed with an ill deed. In fact, it was in the Old Testament, you can return an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It was this idea of justice, that if somebody has wronged you, you will get justice. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus arrives on the scene and he raises the bar and says, not only are you not supposed to return an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but instead, you are supposed to love your enemies. And he's calling his listeners to this new level of spiritual maturity where they were living and believing down here. And Jesus is saying, no, I have more. I have a new level of grace. I have a new way of life that I want to show you. He was calling his listeners to a new level of spiritual maturity. And I believe that this morning he wants to call each one of us to a new level of spiritual maturity. There's lots of obstacles to our spiritual growth. There's lots of things that are keeping us from growing. And the Barna Group conducted a nationwide study between the years 2005 and 2010, and they identified four main barriers that kept self-identified Christians from growing. And I'm going to share them with you this morning. Four barriers that prevent people from, that prevent Christians from growing in their spiritual maturity. The first one is this: a lack of commitment. A lack of commitment. This is their statistics. I'm going to read. It says 81% of Christian adults say they have made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ that is still important in their life today. More than 3 out of 4 self-identified Christians, 78%, strongly agree that spirituality is very important to them. Yet less than 1 out of every 5, only 18%, claim to be totally committed to investing in their own spiritual development. See, without full determination to live like Christ and for Him, the path to complete transformation is blocked. The path to complete transformation is blocked. We can't rely on anybody else to bring us to the place where we want to be. We can't rely on our parents. We can't rely on our children, on our spouse, on our pastors. No, we have to be committed to our spiritual growth ourselves, because it's only when we decide that we want to look more like Jesus that it actually happens. Yes, a relationship with Jesus is free, but there's a process in which we are sanctified, in which we become more like Him. We have to be committed to our spiritual growth if we want to look like Jesus. Here's the second barrier: no real transformation. There is no real transformation. Barna Group discovered this. Most of the self-identified Christians in the U.S., 64%, state that they have confessed their sins to God and asked for His forgiveness. But the evidence is quite clear that relatively few self-identified Christians are serious about abandoning the lure of sin and handing total control of their lives to God. See, spiritual growth requires a turning away from sinful activities. It requires us to change our mind about certain things, about ways that we live. You know, I love our church, and I love our vision statements, because we say that it's okay to not be okay. It doesn't matter where you are in your journey. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You are welcome here, and we want you to belong before you believe. We believe that no matter what you're going through, no matter what sin you might be entangled in, we want to welcome you here, and we want to love you the way that Jesus would love you. But also, we have up here, you can come as you are, but our hope is that you leave changed by the grace of Jesus. We want you to be transformed. We want you to be changed. We don't want you to stay the same. We don't want you to stay in the same place. We want true transformation to happen at our church. Thank you. Spiritual growth, it requires a turning away, right? And we have these support groups. Maybe you're in this room this morning and you realize that there are, this is a barrier that's in your life. That there's a relationship with God that you feel like you could have if only this wasn't in my life. If I could get rid of this, then I could have a great relationship with God. I'm here to tell you that at our church, we have groups of people that meet every single week for people who are stuck in addiction, for people who need help, for people who just need a support group, somebody to come alongside of them. We have amazing leaders that would come alongside of you, and they would be with you week after week. And they would help you with this transformation process and giving these things to God. These groups are amazing. We have them at our church. If you are interested at all in getting involved and you say, this is a step that I need to take, please contact one of us, email one of us on our website, and we'll get you connected. At our church, we believe it's okay to not be okay, but we also believe it's not okay to stay that way. We want everyone to be changed by the grace of Jesus. We want everyone to experience real transformation. The third barrier to our spiritual growth is too much activity. Too much activity. This is what the Barna Group said. Tens of millions of self-identified Christians have confused religious activity with spiritual significance and depth. For instance, 39% have participated in a combination of three normal religious activities in the past week, like attending church services, praying, or reading the Bible, but far fewer have engaged in deeper faith expressions, like sharing their faith with a non-Christian, fasting for religious purposes, and have extended time of spiritual reflection during the past week. We become so busy, and we become so, we fill our time with even church activities, with church events. I know that I'm guilty of this too, that sometimes we can come to church, or we could go to our small group, or we can do something and think, okay, I've made my contribution to my spiritual growth. I've done the work, right? We confuse it for the depth and for the vulnerability and the intimacy that God actually wants to give us. And we put our spiritual growth sometimes on the back burner. We treat our spiritual growth sometimes like I do right now. I treat going to the gym. I really want to go to the gym. I really want to lose 20 pounds. But you know what? I'm going to do it after all the junk food in our pantry is out of the house, right? Because if I go to the gym and I work out, I'm going to come home and I'm just going to want to eat the cookies that are in the pantry, right? And then, Christina will come home with something, and I'll be like, oh, okay, I'll wait till that's gone, and then I'll go to the gym. Is anybody else like that? Come on, be real. Come on, I know, but we do this sometimes. We think, okay, spiritual growth, I know that I should be reading the Word more. I know that I should be spending time with God. I want to grow, but I just don't know how. I don't know where to start. And you know what, maybe if I just go to church, or maybe if I just do this, it makes us feel a little bit better inside. Right, it fills kind of a space inside. Okay, something's happening, right? But we just fill our time with these things that aren't actually bringing about true growth. Here's the last barrier that Barna Group found, was a lack of spiritual community. There was a lack of spiritual community. They say most self-identified Christians note that they feel comfortable and connected within their church. However, various measures show that there is not much vulnerability and accountability occurring within the context of those faith-based connections. Many self-identified Christians do not take their faith community seriously, whatever type it may be, as a place in which they should be open and be held to biblical principles. Only 21% believe that spiritual maturity requires a vital connection to a community of faith. This is something that especially my generation is going through, where there's a lot of people in my generation especially who feel like I can have a relationship with God, I can have a healthy, growing relationship with God without church, without people in my life that go to church. I don't need to be told what to do. And part of that is true. We can have a relationship with God, outside of the church, but guess what? God created this family. He created this church to sharpen each other, to grow one another, to push us towards Him. Because how many of you know, I'm doing a self-paced class right now. When I was in college and I was, I had to be at class, they gave me homework assignments. I stayed on top of it, right? I was being pushed. Hey, I have a test coming up. I got to study for it. Right now, I'm in a self-paced, kind of do it at your own leisure, couple classes that I'm taking online. And it is so hard for me to do homework right now because there's so many other things I'd rather be doing. But it's when you surround yourself with people that push you, that challenge you, that encourage you, people who love Jesus like you do, that we truly grow. And I believe that our Transform series was a testament to this. I know that when people came over to our house for Transform, how many of you guys participated in Transform this last fall? At the end of the night, you had to write a 3-month goal, right? And then the next week they would come and people would ask me, hey, Blake, how you doing with your goal? There was this encouragement. There was this pushing me forward to growing like Jesus because I was surrounded with people who loved me and encouraged me and were doing the same thing. And a spiritual community is absolutely vital to our spiritual growth. Having people in your life that are pursuing the same thing as you are is absolutely vital. My mom used to tell me, you are who you hang out with. And I remember when I was in middle school, I didn't skateboard, but I dressed like a skateboarder. And I had the Bieber hair like a skateboarder. And it's because I hung out with skateboarders, right? And I talked like a skateboarder. I was who I hung out with, right? We need to surround ourselves with people who love Jesus so that we can look more like Him. And oftentimes we can fail to realize that the end game of of spiritual development is godly character. The end game here is not to check a bunch of things off our list, to go to this, to go to that, to do this, to do that. No, the end game is to look like Jesus. It's godly character. It's those things that we do at our home when the doors are closed, nobody's watching, to have godly character. God does not need his followers to achieve things on his behalf in order for them to become more acceptable or valuable to him. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in finishing programs or religious activities that we lose sight of the purpose of our faith, which is to have a life-changing relationship with Jesus. Amen. It becomes easy to substitute religious activity for intentional and simple engagement with God. And you know what? Our church, like I said before, our pastors have been prayerfully thinking about this path of spiritual maturity and how can we all, how can we develop something that, people can get on and it could be clear and concise. They could almost be road signs. They could almost be something that, you know, I know what the next step is. I know what I have to do next in order to take that next step in my spiritual growth. What we have are these like road signs, and I want to share a couple road signs with you that we found online. There's this one that says, good luck. Sometimes I can feel like this, right? I can feel like this. There's so many doors that are available to me, or so many options for me to choose, so many things I could do. When I get at home, I can do so many different things, and I just feel like, well, good luck. I hope I make the right decision, right? What's the next one? If you hit this sign, you will hit that bridge. How many of you know that there are signs in life that are warning signs that will tell us, hey, if you keep going this direction, your marriage isn't going to work out. If you keep going this direction, your finances aren't going to work out. There are warning signs in life that let us know, hey, we are on the wrong path. We are on a collision course. What's the last one? Welcome to Iowa. We hope you brought something to do. Now these are, Aaron was going to show these slides with you last week, and man, I felt so bad for him when I saw, has anybody been to Iowa before? Is it really that boring? Yeah, Ken's like, yeah, it's that boring. Now you know why Pastor Aaron is so dry. Oh, just kidding. I love you, Aaron. He's probably out in the lobby watching from the TV. I'm going to get a talk tomorrow in the office. No, but there's signs in life that we can see, that we can look at and know, okay, I'm going the right direction. I'm on the right path. So we've developed these three road signs, if you will, that are not supposed to be a checklist. They're not supposed to be something that you, okay, I've done that. No, they're tools to help you grow and take the next step and to be able to see, okay, where am I on this path of spiritual growth, and what's my next step? So here's the first sign. If you're on the path of spiritual growth, the first sign that you could come across is launch with Jesus. You've launched with Jesus. Somebody who is launched with Jesus has had a response. They're following Jesus. They're connected with him. And this is often the goal of our Sunday gatherings, right? We create an atmosphere of grace and passionate worship and teaching that people come to know Jesus. We want people to know Jesus. We want people to launch with Jesus. And somebody who is launched with Jesus will exhibit these three things. They've made a decision to follow Jesus by inviting him into their heart. That's the first thing, and probably the most important thing, is that you've begun the journey. You've launched with Jesus. You started on the path. You said yes to him. He's in your heart. The second thing, as they've invited the Holy Spirit to fill them and empower them to live like Jesus. We just got done with the Holy Spirit series, and we talked about how the Holy Spirit, Moses said he wouldn't go anywhere unless the power of the Holy Spirit went with him, unless the presence of God went with them. It was the defining mark upon God's people, and the same is true today, that the Holy Spirit is the defining mark upon our life. It's what people look at and say, there's something about that person that's different. There's a love. There's a devotion to God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live like Jesus. So somebody who has launched, has made a decision to follow Jesus, has invited the Holy Spirit to fill them and empower them. And lastly, somebody who has launched with Jesus, they gather with the church regularly. Somebody who has launched with Jesus gathers with the church, surrounds themselves with people who love Jesus and who push them to grow, who challenge them to grow so that they don't become stuck and stagnant. So that's the first thing. If you're on the path, somebody who's launched with Jesus is the first sign The second thing, we want people to launch with Jesus, but we want people to live for Jesus as well. We want them to begin their journey, and we want them to continue on that journey living for Jesus. What does this mean? This is the church Monday through Saturday. When you're not here on Sunday, this is learning to grow in Christ, and it happens in community and connection in small groups. Somebody who lives for Jesus, and you know, as we're progressing along this path, going from launch to live to the next thing, you know, as we progress along this path, we become more connected, and we get closer to God. According to 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, our lives gradually become brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. So as we progress from launch to live to the next thing, we become more brighter and beautiful as we become like God, as he grows us in spiritual maturity. Let me ask you this question. Does your life this year look more like Jesus than last year? Does your life this year look more like Jesus than last year? Was 2016 brighter and more beautiful than 2015? And will 2017 be brighter and more beautiful than 2016? Do you struggle with the same patterns, the same addictions, the same behaviors? Or are you being transformed into God's image? This is a piece that all of us are continually growing in, that we are continually living for Jesus. And someone who is living for Jesus will exhibit these two things. The first one is that they've joined a small group or any group of people outside of the Sunday gathering that encourages them and that pushes them to grow. Whether that be an Activate group, a Transform group, or a men's or women's ministry, it's a group outside of the Sunday morning gathering where you are intentional about growing in Jesus. We can come together here on Sunday, but with so many people in the room, it's hard for those one-on-one conversations to last more than 5-10 minutes and to really grow together and to talk together. And it's those kind of conversations and that kind of growth happens in groups like Transform. So that's the first thing. They joined a small group or some other group outside of the Sunday morning gathering. The second thing is that they're using their talents and their treasure for God. They're using their talents and their treasure for God. Their talents. They're using their gifts to serve God's people. They're joining a team to serve with, whether that be youth ministry or kids ministry or worship ministry or hospitality or ushering. And some of you are thinking, but I'm not very good at talking to people and to students and to kids. That's okay. You can make coffee or you can wipe tables. And if that's not your cup of tea, if you're a writer or you're a photographer or you're a graphic designer, we have areas in our at our church that we want to involve you in. We have an Inspire magazine that comes out quarterly that we'd love to involve you in. There are places to serve at our church where you can use your talents for God. The second thing is our treasure, right? We want to use our talents and our treasure for God. Being generous with our financial resources, practicing the principle of the tithe, and even giving above and beyond. And the reason that we want everybody to tithe their treasure is because generosity is ingrained into who God is. God is a generous God. And according to Malachi 3:10, it's the one thing where God says, test me in this. See if you can outgive me. See if you can be more generous than me. We want to be generous because we know that God is generous and we want to be like God. We want to be generous with our talents and our treasures. So somebody has launched with Jesus. They're living for Jesus. They've joined a small group, right? They're serving with their talents and giving of their treasure. And the last thing is we want people to lead others to Jesus. We want people to lead others to Jesus. Everyone here is a leader. Everyone is called to lead. Everyone here is called to lead. In fact, we all have the great privilege, if you have said yes to Jesus, one of our vision statements, as we believe that found people find people and share the radical love of Jesus. If you have found Jesus, you have the privilege of partnering with him in his Holy Spirit's work and to sharing that love with other people on the earth. You are empowered to lead other people to Jesus according to his scripture. Everyone has a ministry in the church and a mission outside of the church. And the essence of leadership is serving. That when we serve other people, we are leading them to Jesus. When we serve other people, we're leading them to Jesus. We have a ministry in the church and a mission outside the church, and this looks different for so many different people. Maybe some of you were called this last fall, and maybe you're called again to lead a transform group. And you, I know that Christina and I, we led our first transform group this fall, and it enabled us to reach out and to meet new people. And maybe you're called to do this, to lead a transform group and invite your neighbors, people who don't know Jesus, to your group so that you can introduce them to Jesus, to the person of Jesus. Maybe for others, your workplace is the perfect place for you to lead other people to Jesus. Or maybe your school is the perfect place to lead other people to Jesus. I know right now my mom is going to school in Portland. I just forgot the name of the university. It starts with a C. Concordia. She's going to Concordia right now. And she has an opportunity almost every day in class because she's studying to be a counselor. And she's put together, and they talk about these deep things. And she's put in a position every single day in school to share Jesus with people. She told me this story. She just invited 8 women over to her house for dinner. She was in this small group, this group, it was like a study group at school, full of 8 women. And she felt impressed to invite them over to her house for dinner. And as they were coming over, the Holy Spirit told her, "I want you to go all out. I want you to make the best meal you've ever made. I want you to put out the best silverware, the best, you know, plates that you have. I want you to serve them. I want you to plate their food and serve them and clear the table." And so the women, and she texted the women. She says, "Hey, ladies, you don't have to bring anything. I'm going to take care of everything. Dress up. We're gonna wear some nice clothes to dinner tonight." And so these ladies show up, and there's jazz music playing in the house, and she's got the candles lit. You know, when my mom, she goes all out. She goes all out, you know. And there's candles lit, and she plates each, you know, she plates each plate individually and serves each woman, you know, one at a time. And the lady said that they had the most amazing experience at my mom's house. One woman said that she had never been treated like that before at anybody's house, and it was the fanciest dinner she'd ever had. And they began to just ask her, like, "Why'd you do this? Why'd you do?" And she just began to share Jesus with them in that moment at dinner. The simplest act of service enabled my mom an opportunity to lead these women to Jesus. My mom tells me a story like that almost every time I see her, and it blows my mind. God is using her in amazing ways. Some of you have those opportunities. Some of you maybe feel called to lead a missions team or an outreach team. And there are teams at our church that are going to Alaska and Ireland, and there'll be trips in the future. We want you, if that's you, to be involved on those trips. Everyone is called to lead. We believe that everybody should launch with Jesus, to live for Jesus, and to lead others to Jesus. Are you on a path of spiritual growth? If you are, where are you on the path? Where are you on the path? What's the next step of your spiritual growth that you could take? What is the next thing that you can do? If you don't know, I have an answer for you. I have a resource for you. I hope that you got this purple paper when you walked in. Purple paper, that's fun to say. If you don't have one of these, they're at the door. Yeah, they might be in the seat backs. This is a list of some upcoming Launch, Live, Lead events that we're having. If you are wondering, what is my next step? What is something that can resource me to keep going in my spiritual growth? We have tools that we want to give you, and they are in the form of classes. And now, these are not checklists. These are not things that, you know, you have to attend every single one of these, but they are tools, they are opportunities for you to continue to grow. So the first launch event that we have is coming up on February 26th. It's our launch class. We've talked about this. It's where you get to meet our pastors, you get to get connected, and ultimately you learn more about the mission and vision of our church, even more so than what we've talked about in the last couple of weeks. That's the first event. Then the next one is March 2nd, 9th, and 16th, and it's our foundations class. And if you are brand new to the faith, if you're brand new to a relationship with Jesus, and you want to know more about the central points of the gospel, what is it about the Christian life, we want to have a discussion with you. We invite you to come to Foundations class, where you'll learn the central points of the gospel, and you'll have discussions with the leaders about maybe issues or questions or roadblocks that you have. It's our Foundations class, and it's going to be amazing. We also have a live event coming up.
called Discovering Your Identity. It's in April. And this is one of those things where when I discovered how God wired me and the gifts that he gave me, the things that I'm not good at and the things that I am good at, it actually freed me to say no to those things that I just wasn't good at, but I kept doing, right? And it allowed me to say yes to the things that I was good at. Once I realized how God wired me, I was free to kind of live in my zone a little bit more. So before you come to the class, you'll actually take a personality and spiritual gifts assessment, and you'll bring it with you, and you'll discuss it with the leaders, and kind of you'll learn how you're wired and your uniqueness. This is a place where you'll discover your identity, where you can learn about your personality and spiritual gifts. And the next one that we have is the art of marriage. If you're a married couple and this is something that you want to attend, you believe that God has something more for your marriage, it's an 8-week study where they meet once a week, and it's an event that portrays the challenges and beauty of God's design for marriage. It's going to be a powerful 8-week study. And lastly, we have a lead event that I'm probably most excited about. It's called Leading People to Jesus. It's May 2nd, 9th, and 16th. And a lot of people would probably say that they want to share Jesus with people, that it's their heart to. They have this desire to share Jesus with people, but they just don't feel equipped for it. They don't have the right words. They don't feel like they're articulate, and they don't have the vocabulary and don't know how to do it. Well, this class is about the art of connecting with the lost, and you'll learn how to effectively articulate the gospel and the Christian life to others in your life. And so leading people to Jesus May 2nd, 9th, and 16th is going to be an amazing class. And you can register for any of these classes on our website at redhills.church/classes. These are tools for you guys to take the next step and to continue on the path of spiritual growth. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you, and we thank you, God, that you are so gracious with us as we continue to grow and continue to look like you. Father, I pray that you would give us the courage and the ability to reach out for help. God, if we're stuck, if we need to come alongside somebody, I pray that you would give us the courage to reach out and ask for help. And Father, I pray that you would also just mold us into your Son's image, God. Help us be great examples to our families, our spouses, and to others in our life. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Happy Sunday, everybody. We'll see you next week. Have a great day.